This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Jerome Solomon of the Chronicle and I think are of like mind on this, Wade. That you don't, you know, every city thinks that their city's being disrespected, and every city thinks that they're getting short shrift. Jerome acknowledges that in this column that he wrote. I think this was yesterday in the Chronicle. But I do feel that this, whatever this is, this soft boycott of the Astros, or this soft suspension, this ongoing suspension of the Astros by people in and around Major League Baseball, is getting a little out of hand. And a lot of it comes on just social media, when they'll have a list of, you know, the 10 hottest players in baseball at some point, and some Astro that has just been on a complete tear can't even crack the top 10. ESPN, they posted an item titled "Who in Major League Baseball is a must-see TV right now? This season's most watchable teams and players." And in that article, they didn't list a single Houston Astro. Despite Yordan Alvarez being Yordan Alvarez, despite Justin Verlander at the age of 39 leading MLB and ERA and wins and a whole bunch of other fancy stats, and despite Jeremy Pena, who leads rookies in just about every major offensive category, homers, RBIs, batting average, he's in wins above replacement, Wade, Pena is tied for fourth in MLB. Like, he's freakishly like the best version of Correa in that too. And that,
yeah,
it's not just his offensive numbers. He has a really high defensive war, which combines to put him up at a level where it's mostly offensive guys, like based all on their offense. Pena's the one that stings the most, but Yordan as well, because neither of those guys were involved one bit whatsoever in 2017. And yet I feel like they're being punished for the transgressions of others.
Yeah. I mean, all three guys that you mentioned on there, Verlander wasn't, you know, stealing signs. You got Pena and you got Yordan. None of these guys were any part of that scandal, but the fact that they have Astros across their jerseys, that's a problem, and that makes them unwatchable. A lot of people watch the Astros and they pray for them to fail. They want them to fall flat on their faces. The problem is that the Astros continue to be one of the best teams in the league year in and year out, and this year is no different. And so, you know, the question says, or the statement is, the season's most watchable teams. Well, they're playing to the crowd, because a lot of the crowd, and I'm talking about fans from all over the league, cannot stand the Astros. They don't want to see them be successful, so that makes them unwatchable. So, I mean, although everyone you listed merits being on a list, because Yordan is one of the most feared hitters in the league. Justin Verlander is one of the best pitchers in the league still at this level. He's still an ace. And then you got Pena coming in there balling like, you know, like Correa never left, and he's actually doing better than Correa at the plate. Like, you know, you got all these guys that warrant attention, but because they have on their jersey and because they're here in Houston, they're not watchable. And so I think that's a great place for the Astros fan base and the city to be in, because it's us against the world mentality. And it's been that way since all of this stuff's come out, basically in 18, 19. So I get it. Like, I understand why you're upset about it, but I understand why, because the Astros aren't watchable for most people around the country.
Well, you know what it is? I guess it never quite hit me like this until you described it like that, which I knew, yeah, obviously I knew that people outside of Houston like want the Astros to fail. But the fact that they keep doing well, it's like when there's a character in a TV show,
yes,
that, or a movie, but especially a long-running TV show, like a Game of Thrones type thing,
yes,
where like you just, you physically like cannot wait for them to die.
When is he going, like, to die?
Yes, why will you not kill him? And like it gets to the season finale of 1 year, and you're like, okay, here it is. He's going to die right now, right? This is their moment. And then he escapes. That's that's awesome.
And he ends up shining. And he ends up doing well.
They're Ramsey Bolton. The Astros are Ramsey Bolton. That's how people feel about him.
That is how they feel about him. I can't put those words out there in the world myself because I hated Ramsey Bolton, and I do not want to put that on the Astros because I have no hate in my heart towards the Houston Astros. But outside of Houston, there's a lot of people that feel that way about them. And it's like watching Ramsey Bolton continuously torture people, continuously be conniving and getting over and backstabbing people. It's Littlefinger, all these type of people on Game of Thrones. That's who the Astros are to the outside world. And so they want to see them fall. And I get it. It's fine.
Somebody, I was like the irresponsible headline I would have written about this when I was talking about how J.J. Watt might have been throwing shade at Houston. I couldn't bring myself to do it because he really wasn't. But I could have technically written a headline that said J.J. Watt doesn't miss a thing about Houston. And because he did talk about one thing on Twitter that he missed. And this was – it was one of these things. It was like somebody couldn't – sometimes people can't help but be a pain in the butt. JJ made the mistake of tweeting something nice about Arizona, of course. And, you know, these guys run into these binds when they go to a new city and they try to ingratiate themselves to the locals and say nice things. So now whenever JJ says anything nice, about Houston, like he said, let's see, somebody asked him Arizona Heat or Houston Heat, which is worse? And JJ said Houston by a mile. That humidity is no joke. Somebody responded and said, "So you don't miss HEB?" And I don't know how one's related to the other.
Like, where did you go to A to Z like that? Like,
I don't know. Like, you're saying you don't like humidity, like the rest of Houstonians,
right? I've never met someone that said, "Yeah, I love the humidity here in Houston." Like, I love
it's just so good for my skin,
so
and
sticky.
My frizzy hair. I love it. There's nothing I love more than I'll tell you what. I do think that there's a little bit of like an equalizing aspect to the Houston Heat in that like everybody sweats. So there's nobody that's so dainty that you're not going to every now and then see them like a sweaty mess. So you know, like whether you're a billionaire or you know, digging ditches, like you're all united by that at any given moment you might be stinky and sweaty. There's no escaping it in the summer.
Everybody has to make that decision, like, all right, am I going to put on lotion today? If I do, I'm going to go outside the house and my entire shirt's going to be sweat through. My arms are going to be beaded up as soon as I walk out the door. And that's something as a Houstonian you have to take into account. As far as in Arizona, if you don't put lotion on, your skin might crack and you might bleed out because it's just so blistering hot out there. You got to make sure you protect yourself. So, I mean, there's different aspects of it, but you know, the humidity, I've never met a fan of humidity, and that's a pretty innocuous statement by J.J. Watt. But people tend to go from A to Z, especially on social media, when it's, oh, so you don't really like Houston, huh, because it's hot. Like, man, what are you talking about? Nobody likes the humidity here.
He did. He included something else. He said, in response to that, he said, "Hell yeah, I miss HEB. The place is legendary. And what Mr. Butt did during the hurricane relief efforts, I will never forget. I miss a lot of things about Houston." He piled on. He said, "The two things I don't miss: traffic and humidity." So, and again, this is like, okay, what are we going to, am I going to get mad at JJ for saying something that we all agree about, that the traffic is a little bit unreal? It's a little bit untenable at times.
I wonder how often JJ like drove around town. Like, did JJ, because when we were teammates, JJ drove himself everywhere, but it seemed like you get to a certain stature that JJ would probably have somebody drive him around town. And traffic is not as bad when you're riding than it is when you're driving.
Yeah, but once he moved to Memorial, I think it was probably different. There's a difference in just, like, when you get out to the suburbs, it's there's just more, there's more hysteria. Is like, hysteria is the right word for JJ, but I just think, I don't know if you've noticed this, Wade, or not, but like, even like, I've just always noticed when I go out to the suburbs, it's more notable in some respects if somebody sees you out there, if you're an athlete, just because it doesn't happen as often. So like when I was a player, if I was out in the suburbs, there was more of a chance. And obviously, like, I was never at JJ Watt's level.
Right.
But there's more of a chance that you're going to all of a sudden, like, have a group of people around you asking for autographs or whatever. Where, like, in the memorial area and inside the loop and everything, it's just people kind of, they'll kind of give you the appreciative side eye, but it's not necessarily the same fervor over somebody. So I think he was pretty good getting around, like, without, like, some obvious limitations.
I kind of live out in a bubble out in Siena, and so, like, there's so many former players, current players in all sports that live out that way.
Yeah.
So I think it's the exact opposite of kind of what you're describing. Like, people see us and it's like no big deal. Like, you know, you go to your kid's elementary school and people see you and they say, hey, Wade, and that's it. It's just keep it moving. It's not a big deal at all. Whereas, you know, maybe if you're out and about in different suburbs, it might be a little bit different. But, like, in my neighborhood, like, I come across and realize somebody lives in my neighborhood that was on TV at some point, like, every other day. And it's, like, no big deal. But I'm sure if you're living in I don't know, Bel Air, River Oaks, stuff like that, you see people all the time, and it's no big deal. And so, you know, I'm guessing JJ probably liked that. But, I mean, it's JJ Watt. So JJ Watt, I feel like people had hysterics around him anyways. Like, wherever he went, he probably had to deal with that.
It's going
to
be, yeah, he's just, and he kind of invited a lot of that, especially early on. Look, Wade did some digging for me, and he knows how much I despise really the entire state of Indiana, but especially the city of Indianapolis. And I didn't realize this, but there is just some shocking stuff out there about the worst city in the union right now. And I will play you some of the audio from it next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
So, I've vaguely heard of this thing. You're listening to Payne and Pendergast. Sean Pendergast is one of our listeners corrected me. Judy Pendergast is not currently competing in cross country. She's competing in track, I think in the 3200. So Sean's daughter, who runs for Harvard, is competing in that right now. And Sean's out watching her for this weekend. So he'll be back on Monday. We've got Wade Smith in. And Wade Smith alerted me to this documentary on Netflix that I've heard a little bit about. I've heard people talking about it, but I didn't know much about it. But it all makes sense now because the city and the state which I despise the most, Indianapolis, Indiana, respectively, is dead center in the middle of all of this. And the best way I could lay this out as I watch this trailer on Netflix, Wade, is that there's a doctor in Indianapolis who apparently was a fertility doctor, and instead of helping people conceive their own children, he was, without their knowledge, impregnating these women themselves. This is how the patients themselves described it.
When I opened up Ancestry, I had over 3,000 hits.
All of these random names were popping up, and it said close family.
We all matched the name Klein.
Dr. Klein was the best infertility doctor in Indianapolis.
He was the best infertility doctor in Indianapolis. The best.
The best of the best.
The best of the best. The best of what Indianapolis has to offer. A city widely known for its most excellent thing being when race car drivers from everywhere else come into their city and then leave immediately afterwards, after the Indy 500.
Yeah.
This was the best fertility doctor in Indianapolis. And it gets even worse and yet extremely appropriate, Wade, when you realize this guy was sick. Don't get me wrong, but he was like sick in a very specific direction. This is how the whole thing was going down.
I think it was some sick experiment for him.
Most of us have blonde hair, blue eyes. It was almost like this perfect Aryan clan.
Yeah, that was the best fertility doctor in Indianapolis running his little little eugenics experiment in the most amenable place that he could find, Indianapolis, where this went on unabated for years and years and years, and people around there just thought, like, hey, good. Everything looks like it's going just great.
Seth, I'm watching this documentary, and I'm riveted from the jump. Like, yo, this is crazy. And as I'm watching it, and it's Indy, of course, and I'm thinking back to all the various times I've heard you talk about inbreeding and how backwards the people are in Indianapolis. And I thought to myself, all right, this Netflix documentary is very new. So he hasn't seen this documentary yet. I was like, Seth reads all the damn time. So he had to have heard about this story. And that's why he's always been on Indianapolis, because it happened a couple years ago. And I was like, he must have read a book about this or something. But come to find out, you were just randomly talking trash about Indianapolis, but everything you were saying was 100% fact, and it's been proved by this crazy documentary and this crazy occurrence that's going on in Indy, where this guy is actually going into his office, and, you know, like a husband and wife comes into the fertility office, and they provide a sample. And he's supposed to go back there and put those, you know, put the egg and put the sperm together and make a baby. Instead, he was going into his office, providing his own sample and matching their egg with his sperm.
It's the kind of stuff Nick Saban would do.
Man, I mean, me and Nick aren't just closest of buds, but I don't even want to put that on it. This dude is evil as hell, dog. Like,
I mean, I'm going to tell you honestly, this softened me a little bit in a lot of ways, but it softened me a little bit. on my stance on Indianans and Indianapolisians, because the Indianapolisians maybe aren't completely and totally to blame for this. I'm guessing where it all went awry in Indianapolis was when, like 30, 40 years ago, there were probably 40 Dr. Kleins running around. Because I swear, the old RCA Dome, when I used to sit down there on the sidelines, and look, yeah, the Colts were a team, you know, made largely of people who weren't inbred in Indianapolis, who just came there from elsewhere, they would put it on the Texans. We hadn't had a lot of success versus them. But that old RCA Dome, I don't know if you remember, Wade, you were really close to the fans, like a few arm lengths away from the first row.
Yeah.
And I remember I used to just turn around and look up at these people, and I'd be like, what a disgusting collection of inbred fools. Like, Like, how are these people even, like, literate enough to pass their driver's test? And now it all makes sense, but this is what's even better and, like, even more appropriate. This is how the good authorities in Indianapolis take care of a man who has been illegally fertilizing women, like so many failed crops in the great state of Indiana. This is how the authorities handled it.
I reached out to every news outlet, big and small.
This was a person of a position of power. He's known in our community as a philanthropist. He's an elder of the church.
And the attorney general's office.
I don't deny that it was a sexual violation, but legally, there's just no crime that touches this particular act.
Oh, come on, you lazy son of a bitch. What? Well, there's nothing You can't find something in your law library somewhere that covers something like this? I'll tell you what, if I were DA of that backwater town, which, by the way, it's not like they're doing a whole lot of deep diving into how the sausage is made legally in Indianapolis. You can make up a law, and there's barely a judge smart enough to figure it out. Go ahead and just figure something out, man. Wade, I haven't watched the documentary, so this will be a spoiler for me. Anybody else that doesn't want to hear the end, just to tune out for about 30 seconds. What does he get? What does happen to him legally?
Now, I want you to guess. I want you to guess what his punishment ended up being, because
so I know it's not as bad as it should be.
Bro,
I bet he lost his license and got probation.
He has over 100 kids out there that he created. It's the reason why when you were in the stadium, you looked around and everyone looked alike, and they didn't know why they looked alike. They just thought that, you know,
weak jaws,
you know, they just
poor dentistry, kind of a vacant gaze.
Yeah, they all had a similar feel and look to themselves. Dude got probation and a $500 fine.
$500.
But they created a law now. So now
it's barely enough to buy ice cream cones for all his children.
Bro.
What the?
$500.
Are you serious? $500?
This dude was so ingratiated with the community there that people were sticking up for him. They were putting death threats on his kids.
Of course they were.
You got to watch
this
thing
from
beginning to end. It's crazy.
Like, so this guy is still a hero. Like, this guy's like the Johnny Appleseed of Indianapolisians. And he walked around spreading his seed. And now they all follow him. This is like some horror show stuff.
He is still highly revered in that city by a lot of
people. Shut up.
So I don't feel bad for Indy. I don't feel bad that you make fun of him anymore. I can't stand the Colts. I don't like the Colts at all. But you always were taking shots at Indianapolis, and I didn't really get it. I understand now. It makes sense to me, and I don't feel bad for him one bit.
Yeah, like all prejudice, it was based mostly on just intuition. Now I've been proven right that my intuition about these things is correct. I'm going to start being more prejudiced about various things in the future.
The funny thing is, as I'm watching the documentary, like, I had been to Indianapolis probably a month or so prior to watching it for a volleyball tournament, and our Uber driver was like the coolest person ever. She was a lady that was probably maybe my age, probably like 37 to 42, somewhere around that age, blonde hair, white woman, cool as hell, had tattoos. But I promise you, I'm watching the documentary and I'm thinking to myself, she might be one of his kids, because she looks exactly like everybody on this show. And
there's a good chance that she's married to, like, her cousin or
they're related.
Or her half-brother, yeah.
The entire city is related to one another because this one doctor. And then they say that, like you mentioned it, there's like 40-something doctors besides him that did the same thing. Like, this is an actual thing. And, like, how many people you know out there that have used IVF treatment and didn't realize that this could even be a possibility? I wouldn't even fathom it. You got to watch it, man. It's crazy.
Oh, man. My wife's blonde hair, blue eyes. She's getting a cheek swab while she sleeps tonight. Hey, is Colin Kaepernick the closest he's been to an NFL return? That's coming up next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
So I was just casually, you know, looking over my HVAC installation guide, because I'm a YouTube HVAC tech now, by the way. I don't know if I told you that or not. Wade, I'm pretty much certified to start my own air conditioner repair company, as long as the authorities will accept my YouTube history.
But you can literally learn and do anything off of YouTube. Like, you can learn. I learned how to tie a tie probably like 12 years ago, or maybe 15 years ago, off of YouTube.
Yeah, that's what
like,
it
like,
is.
Like, you learn how to do any and everything and tie like the double Windsor. I could tie a tie, but I didn't know how to do the double Windsor. Like, I learned that on YouTube probably like 15 years ago. Like, you learn how to do any and everything on YouTube.
Anybody out there, like, quit whining about how you don't know where your daddy is and go on YouTube, because it's the best dad there ever was. Like, any fatherly advice, any carpentry advice, how to fix your washing machine, how to install a dehumidifier ducted You know, am I going to do it into the supplier? Am I going to do it into the return? All these, I own a damn pitot tube now, all right? Because my daddy, YouTube, is an HVAC tech. And it's like that, you know what it is? YouTube's like that doctor in Indianapolis that's impregnated everybody.
How did he get off of no child support? Like, you got 100 kids, and you ain't paid a dollar for any of them.
It all comes back to
like,
that.
Come on, man. Like, that dude there, Dr. Klein.
So I'm special joking about that. Evil. I actually am kind of. I'm before we get into Colin Kaepernick here. I was actually kind of intrigued by all of it. Like I like learning about all this stuff, and so I'm thinking about doing like an online HVAC tech class. And then I was talking to one of my friends who's actually an HVAC tech. And he's like, what are you, an idiot? Like, what is this? Oh, this is the life you want, Seth? You want? Because I was like, yeah, maybe I'll start my own company. Like, just take it slow and eat. Like, no big deal. Just take some jobs here and there.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, there is no, oh, it's just a job here and there. It's like, oh, it's 2 a.m. on Sunday and a customer is irate that their AC isn't working. You'll have less of it, but you'll have it. So he said, unless I can jump immediately to where I just own the company and I've got like a bunch of techs working for me and a manager, then that's not the life that I want.
Well, that's the thing though. You might have enough, you know, saved away to where you could do that. You can just get, as long as you get a manager that you trust.
Yeah.
And then you can be a delegator.
No. I don't want that life either.
You don't want that life.
No, I've got the life. I've got the exact life that I want. I've tried enough things and done enough things that I do. You know what I'll do? Maybe I'll be a volunteer HVAC tech where I just go and do it for free with the understanding that you're not allowed to ever call me again.
A pro bono HVAC guy. That's a novel idea. Maybe you can go to people that are less fortunate that can't afford the normal HVAC, and you just do a pro bono and come save the day. But it's like, after I helped you this one time, if something goes wrong, do not call me back.
It's like going to the dental college to get your dentistry work.
Barber school, all that type of stuff.
Greatness.
Yeah. Massage school, barber school, all those places that you can get it for the cheap, you're going to pro bono provide HVAC work for people that need it.
So what happened yesterday is I was looking in the installation guide for my humid air. Wait, is it? Oh, April air. I got to get in. Hey, Ben, write that down in my book of business ideas. I need to get some kind of an endorsement deal with April air. So my April air E120 dehumidifier. I saw this on my Twitter. The notification popped up. Ian Rappaport talking about, lo and behold, Colin Kaepernick.
Fascinating development for Colin Kaepernick, who, as you mentioned, has not played in the NFL since 2016, has not had a meeting with the team since 2017 when he went to visit the Seattle Seahawks, who eventually decided not to sign him, despite Pete Carroll saying that he believed Colin Kaepernick should be in the NFL. And there have been several people over the last couple of years who have advocated for Colin Kaepernick getting a chance. One of those people is Las Vegas Raiders owner Mark Davis, who now does have the opportunity to sign him. So Josh McDaniels, the head coach of the Raiders, and Dave Ziegler, the general manager, worked out Colin Kaepernick earlier today.
So this is where I am with this, Wade. And like with all the debate and everything else over Colin Kaepernick over the last several years, and obviously like things are not at the same fever pitch right now for multiple reasons as they were back when he was looking for work and couldn't get work.
Right.
There's always been the question as to whether he would take a job if he wasn't the starter. And he'd never really weighed in on that necessarily. But, some people would argue that he wouldn't want to sign somewhere as a backup. And that was what was going to prevent him. When realistically, like, look, he wasn't getting a job for it. I think that wasn't the reason he wasn't getting offered jobs, in my opinion, at that moment. Do you think that he'll actually get a shot this time around?
I think he will get a shot. I wouldn't be surprised if he's signed by the Raiders in the next day or so after his tryout. If you look at what Colin Kaepernick brings to the table as far as his ability to run, although he's not 27 years old anymore, he's 34 now. He's still more athletic than the majority of quarterbacks in the league. He's still can run an offense, and he's still better quarterback, just throw over the football, than a lot of quarterbacks that are on the second and third team of rosters in the NFL. I think he's hungry. I think that was a misconception. It was a narrative that he didn't want to take anything but a starter's role. I know at the time when he first was basically banished from the league, he still felt like he was a starter. And at that time, he was better than a lot of starters in the league. So I understand that gripe. But I think at this point in his career that he's been out of the game for, I think, 5-6 years now, like, he's going to be willing. And I read somewhere where he said, an article where he said that, yeah, I'd be willing to come in and be the third string quarterback, second string quarterback, whatever it is. But if I play at a level enough that warrants me moving up the ladder, then I should move up the ladder. And I think that's a reasonable way that anybody that's in the league should approach things, as far as, hey, if I outplay you, then I should be playing. And so I think Kaepernick's going to get an opportunity. It's going to be polarizing when he does get his opportunity. It'd be interesting to see how many boos, how many cheers he gets in that first preseason game. But I think it's going to be must-see TV. I think a lot of people will tune in and watch a preseason game.
Yeah.
Where there's otherwise, nobody watches preseason like that unless you're like, you know, you're a degenerate. Or most people are not watching preseason games like that. But people will tune in to watch that.
I hadn't even thought about that part of it. I feel like the team that signs him is going to want a certain kind of environment. But then if Kaepernick goes off in the third quarter or something, we know how we are in the preseason. We know that the third quarter shouldn't matter. And yet, when somebody goes off in the third quarter, we think it's we've discovered the next Gale Sayers or somebody. There's always some running back that we think is the next Gale Sayers. This is the quote that's out here that I think that has people skeptical as to whether he'd really accept a backup job, but I think I've got a reason why that's not necessarily the case. This is Colin Kaepernick about a month ago on the I Am Athlete podcast.
Yeah, if I have to come in as a backup, that's fine, but that's not where I'm staying. And when I prove that I'm a starter, I want to be able to step on the field as such. I just need that opportunity to walk through the door.
So I think people heard that, and you put it into that, like, in the context of the Raiders. And I'll tell you honestly, my first thought was like, well, he's not gonna beat out Derek Carr in training.
Nah.
They just gave Derek Carr a new contract.
No, that's not gonna happen.
But I think probably the context, and again, that was a month ago, but the context could also be interpreted as, yeah, okay, like, spend a year as a backup and then get some opportunities to show that you can be a starter, and then maybe some other team will be more likely to take a swing at you.
Yeah, you just mentioned it. He gets in a preseason game in the third quarter, and he goes out there and balls out and leads a couple of touchdown drives, and Sam Darnold is sticking it up out there in Carolina. They might make a phone call. Like, come on out here, Colin. We might have a spot for you out here. Like, if they're willing to go out and get Deshaun Watson and all the issues he has going for him, I don't see why they wouldn't be looking into a guy like Colin Kaepernick as well. And as long as he gets on the field and he actually plays well when he's on the field, there will be teams that will make phone calls to inquire about getting him. And the Raiders will probably look at it in that manner, like, hey, he would be a decent backup for us. And if he goes out here and plays well in the preseason, then maybe he's a trade piece that we can get a 7th-round pick for from somebody, or a 6th-round pick for a guy like Colin Kaepernick. A lot of times it's a no risk situation for the Raiders. He's not going to come into there and start over Derek Carr. Derek Carr is a better quarterback than Colin Kaepernick. But at the same time, there's some quarterbacks around the league that, hey, you might not be able to say that, especially if he comes back and plays at the level that he was playing at when he left.
Yeah. You know what? The whole thing about Derek Carr, when I think of Derek Carr and the chance that Kaepernick might get a chance to play. Carr, let me double check this. Carr's been very durable. And yeah, he's had two seasons that he played 15 games. And I think there might be a chance that those were playoff years too, where he didn't play the last game of the season. But he's been really, really durable. So that's probably not the best chance for him to necessarily get a chance because of injury or what have you, but maybe he gets a chance in the fourth season, or like you said, in the playoffs. The objections, you know, obviously there's any of the, we'll see what happens. Obviously, like, I'm surprised I didn't see more of, I guess, either a backlash or a controversy or people weighing in on this. I think everybody's just like in a wait and see mode. And for the most part, I think, like many things in the country over the last 5 years, we've we've exhausted ourselves on being irate and furious
yes.
about things.
Yes, like if you wait long enough, like I'm actually feeling good about things right now. Just give it a couple days. Something is going to pop up to where you're irate about something in this country, that in this world, in this country, wherever. There's a lot of stuff to be mad about. Being mad at Colin Kaepernick for not standing for the flag, you know, 5 years ago, wherever it was, that's like rates very low on the list. But if he actually gets on that stage again, I think he'll start moving back up that list again, because there's people that are completely against that and they're going to have a problem with it. And that's why it's so polarizing.
Well, yeah, and it might be, you know, to be fair, too, we haven't really heard Colin Kaepernick talk about it. It's like he might, like, Colin Kaepernick might have, like, a healing moment in store somehow. Like, he might get up and say the most healing, unifying thing ever, and both sides will say, you know what? We've all been a little irrational and ridiculous. Let's all hug it out.
Well, he said he was going to discontinue using that tactic anyway. I remember him saying that probably a couple years ago anyway. But there's people that are off of Colin Kaepernick and always be off of Colin Kaepernick, and they're not going to support anything that he does. And so he's going to get his boo birds. There's going to be people that, a lot of the people that said, you know, they're going to stop watching the NFL, even though the ratings keep going up. Those people are going to be like, yeah, Colin Kaepernick, to hell with them, and boom. And so it'll be polarizing in whatever stadium he finds himself in.
All right, time for headlines.
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines, brought to you by BaywayJeep.com.
The Astros won last night. Christian Javier was magnificent. I think Jose Siri was magnificent in his own brand of scary way. And the Astros, over the course of this series, and really since April 22nd, have been very, very good. So they finish up their stretch of 33 games in 34 days with Jeremy Peña, the rookie, taking a break, much to the consternation of old school Seth, who feels that rookies should play every game, including every doubleheader, and get the vets coffee, and always have a smile on their face. But I actually get it, and I'm cool with Jeremy Peña getting a night off, because he's not actually had a lot of work the last couple years because of injury and whatnot and COVID. So the Astros, with some entering that game, just to kind of frame out just how good they've been since April 22nd. Since that time, they've had the third best record in the majors, trailing just the Yankees and the Twins. Since April 22nd, they lead the majors in ERA and have allowed the fewest runs in MLB. The pitching has been very good, obviously. Mm-hmm. The Astros rank second in the AL in homers since April 22nd, second in slugging. They're tied for second in runs scored, which is a big thing, the old runs scored stat. And Jose Altuve, who a lot of people thought might like be on his way to an early retirement, has been fourth in OPS since that date. It's been a hell of a month or so for the Houston Astros.
Yeah, man, when you think about it, like the team that lost, you know, Gerrit Cole, the team that lost, you know, Zach Greinke, their starting pitching and their pitching in general was just head and shoulders above a lot of the teams out there. They're just consistently playing at a high level. You got guys like Christian Javier, his last two starts, he has 18 strikeouts. Like, you know, Framber Valdez is playing at a high level. Justin Verlander is competing for Cy Young again. Like, the pitching staff and you know, Strom is gone right now, so you would think that maybe that was something that might fall off. The system and the processes that they have going over there with the Astros is remarkable. McCullers hasn't been in the rotation. There's a lot of really good things going on over there with the pitching. And that's not, when you look at them on paper, the strong suit is the batting order. It's the bats with the Astros. And so they're a team that is built to play for and win championships. And it's good to see them continuing to play at a high level and make people feel bad and make them feel unwatchable. And feel like Ramsey Bolton while they're watching the Astros continue to dominate the American League West.
The NFL and the NFL Players Association recently agreed upon new rules for the 2022 season. Brace yourself for this one, Wade. The NFL's disappointing me. They're letting me down.
What'd they do?
It's boring. There's boring rules. Like, there's nothing about overtime. There's There's nothing about like an extra game or anything like that. Like after I've kind of got accustomed to the NFL stealing the show
right.
with stuff by having all these extreme arguments about stuff. They've increased the amount of time that a player has to spend on IR from 3 games to 4 games. Oh, I think okay. originally it was moved down to 3 because of COVID.
Yeah,
wasn't it?
Yeah, that yeah. was a, that was a good little setup they did during the COVID year. There was a lot of, it's a lot of random, but a lot of, you know, special circumstances with that whole COVID deal that they had to work in some rules, adding roster spaces, all that type of stuff. But listen, the NFL has a lot of stuff on their hands. They got a lot of lawsuits that they're dealing with, a lot of things that, you know, changing up the rules right now, they got bigger fish to fry right now. So I could understand why they're not doing a lot of movement with a product that is kind of ain't broke, don't fix it.
The cool thing, though, is, too, it's kind of like with baseball after COVID was over, you take a look at some of the rule changes that were made, and they're like, okay, we like this, we don't like that. Okay, the runner on second base, kind of, okay. But like in football, the IR stuff, I think for a long time people wondered. It was weird and stupid. And I think everybody listening at some point, like, it had a player, you can remember when a player went on IR, and you're like, oh, he's done for the year with an injury that he'll be recovered from in 6 weeks, and then all of a sudden in the playoffs, wow, we really could have used that guy at some point. We're now eight different players can return from the IR at any point during the season. A player can return twice in one season, a maximum of twice, but it used to be 0 times in a season for any players. So, like, that part is more like baseball now, and it makes a whole lot more sense that you don't have to be decimated by a rash of injuries midway through the season.
Yeah, and it's kind of weird. Like, when you think about it, like, why was that the way it was done? Like, you seem like you would save more money as an organization if you could bring the same guy back, as opposed to putting a guy on IR. You still got to pay that guy, and you got to bring in a whole other guy. And if somebody else gets hurt, that's more people you're paying on your roster. Like, I don't know if maybe that was an NFLPA side of a thing, that was something they negotiated to where, hey, if somebody's on the IR, they're out for the year. But it just doesn't make a lot of sense that it was that way at any, like, the way it was. But what you see now makes a lot more sense, that, hey, if a guy is ready to come back in 6 weeks, 8 weeks, whatever it is, let them come back.
That was a lot of, you know what, a lot of those old rules about roster size and IR and everything were kind of holdovers from back when there were, I don't want to say genuinely poor teams, but the difference between the haves and have-nots was bigger, in that, like, a lot of us, the smaller market teams had like real cash flow issues, or they had the bigger teams had ways of stockpiling players on IR and then using that creatively. So the league tried to equalize things. Then it got to a point where a lot of this stuff now, you're realizing, like, okay, the smaller teams don't have to be protected like they used to, because everybody's making so much money from television. So it makes a little bit more sense. You mentioned, for the next headline, you mentioned that the NFL's got all kinds of lawsuits going on. One of them involves Las Vegas Raiders coach John Gruden. A Nevada judge ruled in favor of John Gruden on 2 motions Wednesday, opening the possibility of a jury trial on his tortious interference claim that the NFL and Commissioner Roger Goodell selectively leaked Gruden's emails to force his removal on October 11th. I honestly don't have any dog in the fight in terms of whether or not, like, John Gruden gets off on this or gets some kind of compensation or something. I am keenly interested in some kind of revelation that, wow, Roger Goodell just went out and went there and leaked some information in an investigation that spanned, like, hundreds and hundreds of people, the entire league and what have you.
Right.
This was the one instance they found.
Right,
it just so happened that it was John Gruden.
I'm fascinated. Yeah, especially the team that they were investigating. They were investigating Washington, like the team that notoriously has, like, crazy stuff, underhanded stuff going on within the organization, whether it's harassment, whether it's, you know, medical issues with players. The actual name of the team. They have all these different things going on within that organization. And out of all those emails and all that stuff, they found John Gruden talking crazy about black people. Like, okay, John Gruden has some kind of a beef there, because he had to have been somewhat targeted. To me, he had to be targeted. Now, you know, what he did is what he did, and he got in trouble for it, which I get. But like out of all that, y'all didn't find anything else. So, you know, now was Goodell the one that was a catalyst for it? Did he turn his? I'm sure that there's some kind of way. It's like, well, I didn't know anything about that. Plausible deniability is a real thing, and it's going to be hard for me to believe that they'll be able to tie Goodell down with something like that. But just the idea, out of all of that stuff they looked up, that's the only thing they found was John Gruden and a couple of emails talking crazy.
Unless Gruden, maybe. Well, there's one thing is like, okay, he wants to make it. Usually, you want to make it as uncomfortable as possible for the other side, so that you end up getting, you know, you get something out of it. The more uncomfortable you can make, like Gruden's. It's not like Gruden's going to take down the NFL or anything. But if he makes it very uncomfortable for them by saying that, okay, look, let's dig into all of this. Yeah, I'm guessing there's stuff that would come up in discovery that Roger Goodell really doesn't want to come up with, right. Whether it involves him or not, that, you know, stuff that didn't get reported or leaked, for instance, that they're going to let it go. I do think, though, as much as, like, it's hard to believe that John Gruden's the only guy that felt or says things that John Gruden said in those emails, I don't think there's that many people that are dumb enough to email it. I think John Gruden was treating email like he was having a conversation over the fence or something. I don't think it would be quite the same with. I don't think there are many people that would, even if they feel the same way as John Gruden, that would have been as reckless with their email as that.
Time and a place, man. Time and a place.
Yeah, I guess. frankly. The only other news in the NFL would be a little bit of non-news, is that Lamar Jackson with the Ravens isn't working out with the team currently, but nobody in Baltimore seems to be all that concerned about it. McClain joked about this yesterday a little bit. The media seems to want to create some kind of dissension or some kind of disgruntlement on the part of Lamar Jackson, when Lamar Jackson, from what I can tell and from what people are saying about it, is kind of just the dude that's wired a little bit differently and is cool with just saying, like, yeah, I'm just going to go play football, and when the time comes for a contract, then we'll do it. And maybe I'm naive, but that seems to be all the smoke that's coming out of Baltimore right now.
Yeah, you look at Lamar, like, he's not at practice. He's, you know, his voluntary workouts going on. But there's no beef there because he's retweeting. You know how like, organizations post pictures from OTAs, and there's like four or five action shots of a receiver catching the ball or a defender getting an interception or whatever. He's retweeting that from his Twitter page. Like, there's no beef there. If there's a beef there, you're not retweeting, you know, stuff from the franchise's Twitter page, from pictures from OTAs. I thought it's kind of funny that he's not at OTAs, but he's retweeting pictures from the OTAs. But that's Lamar Jackson strikes me as somebody that felt like everybody doubted him, and he's been consistently proving people wrong along the way. He's happy where he's at. He's got more money than he ever could have fathomed in his life when he was growing up as a kid, and he's not rushing to get the money. He's not rushing to get the bag, because every day that he waits, the bag grows bigger. It gets bigger and bigger. His patience is going to pay off on a tremendous level. So, I mean, I ain't mad at Lamar at all. I think Lamar is... He's gonna break the bank once he actually decides to go to the table and talk to him. But, you know, right now there's no issues between him and the Baltimore Ravens. They're a match made in heaven.
I wonder if I'm gonna have to dig into it and see if he knows Kirk Cousins at all, because, like, Kirk Cousins, there was kind of a culture of frugality that started blossoming in the NFL in the last few years, which, like, there have always been guys that are super careful with their money and everything, but almost to a point where guys like Kirk Cousins was very into, like, look, I'm gonna live my life like I'm just a middle class dude, and, like, you know, be very, very selective in where I splurge and whatnot, but I'm gonna drive a car 10 years and it helps you make like what look like really ambitious, aggressive financial decisions, like Kirk Cousins continually, you know, pushing off the Washington as they tried to make him huge offers. But it's like, once you realize, wow, yeah, I really have it really, really good, and it's everything I ever needed, because you're living like a normal guy.
Right.
That I think Lamar Jackson has that perspective that some young guys with a lot of money don't. Like, you don't. It's easy when you're making that much money to forget just how much you already have and are making. If you can get that perspective, it makes it a lot easier to say, okay, yeah, look, I'm doing fine. I'm set for the rest of my life in a lot of respects.
Yeah.
I could be making a lot more, but I don't need to rush to do it. I'm just going to take my time and hopefully I don't get injured, but whatever. I'll be fine.
1,000%. I'm sure you probably took out some type of insurance from Lloyd's in London or whatever to kind of mitigate any potential risk or loss. So.
Oh, wait, I got to do the ID right here. Sean would be incredibly disappointed in me. You're listening to KILT and KILT HD2 in Odyssey Station. We get fined if I don't do that by 9:05.
Of course.
Excuse me, 8:05.
And I tell you what, you made the point earlier about him kind of having the same mentality of Kirk Cousins. I 1,000% believe that although Lamar Jackson might buy him a nice watch or, you know, a chain or something like that, he still eats ramen noodles. And some people call it Roman noodles. I call it Roman. Some people top ramen. Top
you call
ramen.
Roman whatever. Noodles?
Roman noodles. Maybe it's because I'm from Texas. I don't know. We call it Roman noodles. I 1,000% believe that Lamar Jackson still eats Roman noodles. Like, he's not bougie at all. He's not, you know, he's, to me, he's just a regular cat that plays football at a high level. And he's happy that he's in the position he's in. So that's going to end up paying dividends for him in the long run. That patience, because as we all know, it's all about timing of when you get paid, and he keeps waiting and waiting, and other guys are getting paid in front of him, and that just moves up his price every day that he waits, every month that he delays on making his deal, he's making himself more money.
Do you think there's anything to we don't need the headlines music anymore.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.